do. Amen? Amen. Well, it's time for the word. Amen. It's time for the word. As I indicated just a little bit ago, this is the beginning of Holy Week, Palm Sunday. Amen. We're celebrating Palm Sunday on today. And this is a special Palm Sunday because we have gone through a year of this pandemic. Amen. Things have not been what we anticipated over the past few years, especially another Palm Sunday. But we are so grateful to God that His mercy is still abounding. Amen. So if you could turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, St. Luke, amen, chapter 19. We are going to be looking at verses 41 and 44 on this Palm Sunday 2021. Again, Dr. Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. And I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. And if you don't have your Bibles accessible, you can look on the big screen and you will be able to see the scripture before us. St. Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. The title of this is Jesus Weeps Over Jerusalem. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that makes for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading and the hearing and the doing of God's holy and inspired word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you would move by your power. Send your power, Lord. Send your power right now. Fill us, Lord. Heal us, Lord. Show us the way, Lord. We thank you for this day, and we bless your name, and we celebrate just as the Old and New Testament proclaimed when your triumphant entry took place. And now, Father God, we want to celebrate you by adhering to your word. So, Father God, by your spirit, move in the hearts of your people. Show us the way and guide us, lead us, and direct us. Let us be about your business. Let us be kingdom builders. Let us be about kingdom business. And then, Father God, as this word goes forth, let it do what it was intended to do, and that is to save a sinner, strengthen a saint, heal, deliver, and set free. That is our prayer. In the precious, mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. Again, we are preaching out of St. Luke, the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19, verses 41. Through 44, and I want to tag this text with the subject, Why Jesus Wept on Palm Sunday. Today around the world is traditionally known as Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised. This is the day celebrated as the day Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. It was Passover week, and it was a time for Jesus to enter to prepare for his crucifixion. Though he knew his death and resurrection was the reason why he came to earth, Jesus wasn't necessarily looking forward to it. Yet, here it was. I hope to build understanding of what this means to us as born-again believers and the application it certainly implies. You see, it's not easy to pair a celebratory parade with a trial and execution. I know I'm right about it because the time, this day, and this holy week has finally come. It was a seemingly happy scene. But as he drew near, Jesus, closer to the Jerusalem gates, Jesus stopped and wept. Jesus rode into Jerusalem that spring morning, knowing the devastating events yet to come. He looked around and saw everyone's happy faces as they cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna." But Jesus' heart was filled with sorrow, knowing what they were about to endure. Ain't that just like Jesus, that he would be more concerned about you and I than what he was actually about to partake in? They saw Jesus, the Jewish leaders, because they were all upset, and they had decided that later or plotting to put Jesus to death. They saw Jesus as a threat to themselves and to their delicate political relationship with the Roman authorities. They noticed that during Jesus' time in Jerusalem, his ministry allowed many to bear witness to the miracles he had done. And this is what the religious authority concluded about Jesus. It was official. In their minds, Jesus had to die. See, the thing about Jesus is that he already knew this. This is why he came. This was his purpose. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who would take the sins of the world, was about to be sacrificed. Knowing this, Jesus did what the Old Testament prophets said he would do. He would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. These prophets wrote centuries before Jesus even came to become a baby. Jesus was doing what the Father had planned, prophesied, and prepared for him to do. And Jesus, our Jesus, the mighty, most powerful name on this earth, would fulfill them all. Jesus arrives in Bethany and rode on a donkey's colt into Jerusalem, just as the prophet said he would. Jesus was celebrated by multitudes as the coming king. This all happened right as preparations was being made for the Passover, and thousands of Jewish pilgrims were present. The king has come. Jesus enters Jerusalem to be our sacrifice, where the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. Jesus, the true sacrifice, fulfilled the purpose of them all. They were mere shadows of him. Jesus is the one true sacrifice for sin pictured by all the rest. Now, I would like to turn our attention to the application of this event. Jesus knows what he's about to face as he comes into Jerusalem. He knows who he is. And what God the Father wants him to do, and he's willing to pay the price and how much it will cost him. Aren't you glad about it? That he was committed to the will of the Father, above all else as he fulfills God's word and gives his life for you and I. Jesus promoted the biggest demonstration of his earthly life. There was so much emotion kindled in Jerusalem that day that it could probably be called the most emotional day of history. Emotions was at such a high pitch that the people spontaneously threw their garments and palm branches before the king upon the court. They lifted up their voices like a chorus of praise. They shouted with a loud voice, "Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord." There was so much noise. The sophisticated Pharisees were getting a headache. I'm glad about it. They were thoroughly disgusted with this exhibition of emotionalism, and they urged Jesus to put the damper on these flaming emotions. It would have been futile, however, even if he tried. Jesus said himself that if he did manage to get them to hold their tongue, the noise would not be diminished. Why? Because the very stones would immediately take up the shouting where they left off. The air was so charged with the excitement of joy of what was taking place that nothing, and I mean nothing, could ever stop it. This dramatic and climatic expression of joy, of praise, had to be Jesus, the King, and his triumphant entry into the capital city was a necessity in the plan of God. Here was the music that had to be heard. The praise had to be rendered. The worship had to be given. Palm Sunday, beloved, was no luxury. It was a necessity in God's plan. So the question is, do you know who you are? Do you accept the full responsibility of being created in the image of God and his likeness? Do you know any people who are in the darkness and need to see the light? Do you know what God wants you to do? Do you accept God's mission in your life? Do you know that you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world? You are a chosen people of God. Listen to the words of Peter in 1 Peter 2:9 through 12. Jesus says that you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltness, it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The great commandments and the great commission sums this all up in the purpose that God has for our lives. Jesus declares them both to us, and he expects us to put these words into practice. Jesus himself says that whoever hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man that builds his house upon a rock. But whoever hears Jesus' words and do not do them is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. Jesus fulfills everything God wills for him to do. He knew who he was. He knew his Father's will. He knew the price he had to pay. He performed the will of God. He fulfilled the mission and became our Lord and Savior by dying on an old rugged cross. He was buried and he was raised from the dead. Let us be on guard against the temptation to rush Jesus' triumphant entry and his beaten body down from the cross, thinking that we have already traveled our road to salvation. We still have to travel it, and Christ's suffering can be our beacon along the way and an invitation to offer ourselves a living self-sacrifice and win the souls for Christ. Why are you saying this on this Palm Sunday, the beginning of this Holy Week, leading up into the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ? I can sum it up in just a few words, and that is because he, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is coming back. He's coming back for you and for me, because he came down through 42 generations. He walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem and Judea. He healed the sick and he raised the dead, and he fed 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. I'm so glad that he continued the plan and the prophecy of the Father. He was at the Garden of Gethsemane on that fateful night when they came with the plot in hand to arrest our Jesus and crucify him. When they did that, he didn't say a mumbling word, because he knew what his mission was, and that was to save a wretch like me and a wretch like you. I'm so glad that when they took him from courtroom to courtroom, he didn't have a defense, because he knew what the Father's plan would be. They took him into another room and they beat him all Friday night. That's why we call it Good Friday. They took him up Golgotha's hill. They hung him high and they stretched him wide, and they hung him between two thieves. But he was still doing the Father's plan, because one thief said, remember me when you get to your home. He said, this day you will spend paradise with me. I'm so glad that he stayed there from the sixth and the ninth hour. He died. Didn't he die? They took him down and laid him in a borrowed tomb. He was there Friday night. He was there Saturday morning. He was there all day Saturday. He was even there Saturday night. But the good news is, on a week ahead, he got up with all power in his hands. I'm so glad that Jesus wept. I'm so glad he was crying for my soul. Aren't you glad that he fulfilled the Father's mission? Aren't you glad that he still got purpose in your life? Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I want to be like the people of old. I want to praise him for his goodness. I want to praise him for his mercy. I want to praise him for his grace. I don't want to be like those who avoided him and did not know him on that fateful day when he died for our sins. But I want to celebrate him for who he is and who he will continue to be, because he is coming back. He is the great I am. He's able. My God is able. He's able to deliver. He's able to heal. And he's able to set free. I'm so glad that Jesus fulfilled his entire mission from birth to death to resurrection. If it had not been for our Lord, our Savior, our Master, to fulfill everything that God laid before him, you and I wouldn't even have this opportunity to even fellowship. If you don't know Jesus in the pardons of your sins, as the doors of the church are open, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't know the excitement that we have as born-again believers of this beginning of this Holy Week. You know, when Jesus came onto the scene, he was like a superstar. He was like something that had not been seen and something to behold. But for the people that were studying history, studying who he was, they knew that he was the coming king. And they were willing to go to any lengths to be able to just to be in his presence, just to be in the group. They wanted to have an encounter with Jesus. I offer you to have that same opportunity to have a fellowship and an encounter, a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you first got to accept him. You got to pray the prayer of salvation. You got to tell Jesus, Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner, and I know that I have made mistakes in my life. But Lord, I want to turn it over to you. So first, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And then, Lord, I need you to take over the throne of my life. Lord, I tried it, and it didn't work. But Lord, I need you to take over the throne of my life and make me the kind of person you want me to be. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. And if you pray that prayer, a simple prayer, Jesus will not only come into your life, but Jesus will start moving in your life. And then the excitement from the inside out will start to take place. There's individuals that might have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior some time ago, but somewhere along life's journey, you got sidetracked and you thought that Jesus wasn't there, or there was no God, or that God was not present in your life. Well, I'm here to let you know that God never left. But if you still are unsure about your salvation, I need you to know that Romans 6:23 says that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. But you can be redeemed if you would just accept Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. And if you do that, the Lord say, I never left you. But because you have made an acknowledgement of you leaving, I'm going to bring you back, and I'm going to show you my will and my way. And then, if there's someone out there virtually, right now under the sound of my voice, that need a church home, need covering, need someone to cover you, to let you know that there is a family that loves you. There is a family that will receive you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, it's about where you're going and who you're going to. If you need that covering and you need to be a part of a Bible-believing church, may I offer Macedonia Baptist Church to you? We are a loving church. We love people because God loves us. If you would do that, we would accept you with open arms virtually, and you could be a part of this great fellowship, and you will have the ability to grow, glow, and go. Because here at Macedonia, we're about kingdom business and kingdom building. We praise God and we thank you for being a part of this virtual worship experience. We pray that you have a blessed Holy Week. We want to thank you for worshiping with us today, and we count it all joy that you made a decision by the Spirit to be a part of this worship experience. No matter where you're from, no matter where you're at, we thank you and we praise God for you just being a part. We would ask that you would continue to share. We ask that you will continue to follow. I know that Facebook is getting ready to put a stop on watch parties, but that doesn't stop you now to start a watch party and let someone see what you had the ability to witness. The presence of God was in your life in this worship experience. Don't hold it to yourself. Give it to somebody else so that they can be blessed just as you was. And we pray blessings over each and every one of you. And we count it all joy that you decided to be a part of Macedonia Live here at Macedonia Baptist Church. Again, don't forget our midweek Bible study. You have the ability to participate. Also, don't forget, if the Lord is leading you to give unto this ministry, all you have to do is go to our Macedonia website, which is MacedoniaBCAZ.com, and you can participate, watch previous sermons that have been preached, announcements, events, and certainly, again, you can give unto the Lord if the Lord deems you to give unto this ministry. Well, I had fun, but I gotta run. I thank God for this opportunity, this awesome responsibility that he has laid upon me to be able to preach his word. We pray blessings over each and every one of you, that you was a receiver of this word, and now it's time for us to be doers. So thank you, and we bless you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd be remiss if I did not thank my executive producer, who happens to be not only the First Lady of Macedonia Baptist Church, but also my lovely wife, and that is Lady Linda Wilcox-Harris. We thank her for her diligence in guiding me and directing me and keeping me on task. We pray blessings over her, and we ask that you will continue to pray for Macedonia Ministry here in Phoenix, Arizona. Let us now have our benediction. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you and we thank you. Lord, as we enter into this Holy Week, let us be mindful, not only this week, but every day of our lives, who you are and what you are and what you have done for each and every one of us. We thank you, Lord, for your triumphant entry. We praise you, Lord, and just like the people of old. And now, Lord, as we navigate to the day of Good Friday, Lord, let us be mindful of the sacrifice and the torment that you had to go through so that we may live. Because you live, we live. And then, Lord, let us come together on Sunday morning to celebrate not just any Sunday, but Resurrection Sunday. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine brightly upon you. May the Lord give you his peace, his love, his joy and his prosperity, henceforth, now, and forevermore. And all God's people say amen, amen, and amen. Be blessed and be a blessing, because it's better higher up. You better know it, because he's able.